soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name.
Good morning. Welcome. My name is Lisa Waldman. Our minister, Steve Sargent, is on sabbatical, taking some much-earned rest, and we are so glad that he could do that. So I'll be here leading us through our service this morning, and we are so glad that you are here. I'm so glad you are here. There's some encouragement cards in the chairs behind you, or in front of you rather, the back of the chair in front of you. Some blue cards, those are encouragement cards. The yellow cards are ones that you can fill out for any kind of note of encouragement to someone here. You only need to know their name, and King in the office will take care of the rest. He will get an address and a stamp on it and get it on its way. And I know those are well received when you can do that. There's also a heart response card if you should wish to put something in writing for our elders. And all of those cards can be put in our offering plates later on in the service. We have a pattern to our worship here, something that will feel familiar to many of you, singing songs, praying, reading scripture. I'll provide some thoughts on that scripture. We'll join together in the Lord's Supper. And so if you're here with us online, now is a good time to gather those elements together, the wine and the bread, whatever you're using, to join us in that a little later on. Each of us is seen and valued here in this space. Each of us is invited to come with our whole selves into the Lord's presence to worship. For although our gathering may follow a familiar order, we serve a living God. And as we light a candle as a symbol of this living Christ who is with us, we invite His Spirit to be stirred anew among us today. Christ is with us. Christ is for us. Christ is coming again. Let's stand for a reading of Psalm 66. Psalm 66, 1 through 9. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. Because of Your great power, Your enemies cringe before You. All the earth worships You. They sing praises to You. Sing praises to Your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in His deeds among mortals. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There we rejoiced in Him who rules by His might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let the rebellious not exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offenders who truly obey, that moment may enter the heavenly way. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us. Great things he hath done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done.
Three.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. From the heavens, praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest. All his angels, praise proclaim. All his hosts together, praise him. Sun and moon and stars on high, praise him, O ye heaven. Above the sky, let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted. Far above the earth and sky, let them fruits give Jehovah. They were made at his command. Them forever he established. His decree shall ever stand. From the earth, oh, praise Jehovah. O ye floods, ye dragons all, fire and hail and snow and vapors, stormy winds that hear him call, let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, far above the earth and sky. All ye fruitful trees and cedars, all ye hills and mountains high, creeping things and beasts and cattle, birds that in the heavens fly, kings of earth and all ye people, princes great, earth's judges all. Praise his name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you've promised and all that you are is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. And I
The pronouncement of Luke 4, 18 through 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. I'll be reading Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well."
Now is the time that our kids can go to the back to the roots table. Any of those who are school age would like to go back there. Brandy is heading back there now. Luke 17, 11 through 19. In the passage Dorian just read for us, Luke reminds us that Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. We find him in this story in a region that is not still in Samaria, but not yet in Galilee. It's a region in between. It's a transition. As Jesus enters this unnamed village, 10 lepers approach him. In keeping with the Levitical law, they keep their distance. And also in keeping with the law, they cry out. See, the laws first passed down from God to Moses are still the social norm in this time and place. And we learn from Numbers 5 that anyone who's called a leper is considered unclean. And so by law, they must remain outside the camp, or in this case, the outskirts of the village, until they are well. And this determination of wellness can only be made by the priests. Leviticus 13 to 14 describes these regulations in great detail, and how someone presenting a defiling skin disease must be examined and must be re-examined until the priest finds the person to be clean. And then that person must wash their clothes, wash themselves, make an offering. And it's only after all this that they can return to society. Often we associate the term leprosy with a somewhat gruesome, debilitating skin disease, the sort that might fit in quite well with our trunk-or-treaters at Halloween. Perhaps that's the sort of affliction suffered by the 10 people in Luke's story. But the Levitical code describes a very broad range of skin lesions and other potentially infectious diseases that may well have qualified for the term leprosy. Luke doesn't tell us how sick the 10 are. The term leper, or as Dorian read, person with skin disease, was plenty enough to identify these 10 as defiled people. People who carried a disease that required them to be cut off from home and family, required to wear torn clothes, to leave their hair unkempt, to cover the lower parts of their faces, and to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," as a verbal warning should someone, not noticing their appearance, begin to draw near. So as Jesus enters this village, Luke tells us 10 lepers approached him, but keeping their distance, they called out. But what they called out is this: "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus sees them, and Jesus tells them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And it is while they are on the way that they are made clean. And one of the 10, upon seeing he was healed, turns back, praising God loudly. Falling at the feet of Jesus, he thanks him. He, a Samaritan. And Jesus asks, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And here it is. Here it is that we, as hearers of Luke's story, cannot help but put ourselves inside it. For, like any good parable, we find a contrasting cast of characters: 9 who did not return, 1 who did, and an outsider, a foreigner, a lowly Samaritan at that. And it is here that Luke makes his point, that it is the outsider who recognizes most profoundly the healing that has been given to him, and in recognizing the gift he has experienced, he returns to worship, to praise, and to give thanks. When Steve and I first settled on the scripture that I'd agreed to contribute a sermon on, I'll freely confess my first thought was, "Oh, good. It's not that hard part that comes before it." That part Caleb spoke about to us last week, picking apart what does Jesus mean about the faith of a mustard seed? Or that difficult teaching about a slave who shouldn't expect thanks for only doing what is commanded by his owner. I fully sympathize with Caleb's comments last week, feeling like maybe he drew the short straw on that one. No, this is a far easier story, for this is a story about gratitude. And who among us has not ourselves been a bit short on gratitude at times? And who among us has thought, I should say thank you, but then neglected to actually do it? I certainly have. I cleaned out some piles of papers a few weeks ago, and I found within them this stack of green index cards. They're dated November 2019, and that date helped me to remember my own in-between time from when we lived in San Antonio. I had interviewed for a job that I hold now, the job that brought us here to Houston. But at that time, it had been weeks and weeks of hearing nothing back. And there were lots of transitions swirling around us at that time. And many of the things that used to feel like they worked just weren't working anymore. So I wrote my prayers on these green index cards. And I would close the door to my office, and instead of eating lunch, I would pray these cards. They say things like, give me clarity on my job path, and remind me I have value. Work in my heart, and forgive my jealousy. Send your spirit to work in our church. Guard my tongue to not be mean to Jeff. As I read them now, 3 years later, I recognize how very much God heard and saw my own calling out for help and mercy. And I am so very grateful. Each one of these prayers has been answered and is being answered, not in my way or in my own time, but answered. And you, the church here at Southwest Central, and all of you listening online, are a huge part of that. And I am so thankful for you. Thank you. Your presence here, your words, and your actions are a big encouragement to me. Praise be to God. I know many of you here can say the same thing. I know this is true. I've seen you say it in this very room to each other. Perhaps this one leper who returned, this outsider Samaritan, can remind us to continue to do this good work and do more of it, to return to give glory and praise to God for the ways he is working in our lives. Much has been said about gratitude in our modern times. A brief search across the internet, keyword gratitude, turns up 445 million results in 0.82 seconds. Researchers tell us that gratitude supports greater health and happiness, perhaps even longer lives. Books have been written, gratitude journals encouraged, secular and Christian alike. Anywhere we turn, we can find someone or some study to tell us that focusing our thoughts on what we're thankful for will make us happier, provide us greater well-being, make us feel more satisfied with life. And why not? As Christians, we already recognize, we pray, and we confess that it is truly right and our greatest joy to give thanks and praise to God indeed. May our lips be filled each day with thanks and hallelujahs. A story about gratitude. That'll preach. It's a good lesson. It's a good lesson to hear and be reminded of. We remember each time we speak a blessing over a meal or ask for the protection of a loved one or read from the Psalms or sing hymns of praise. We remember that we are to be thankful for the bounteous gifts our Lord provides us each and every day. It is right and good to give thanks to each other, to say thank you to God, and give all praise to him, just as we're doing today. And Luke wants us to see how important it is to give thanks and praise. His gospel is filled with God's people giving thanks and glorifying God. from the heavenly hosts out among the shepherds in Luke 2, Simeon and Anna praising and thanking God for the gift of the child so long awaited for, the healed paralytic in Luke 5, who picks up his bed and goes home praising God, the crowds who witness Jesus' healing miracles and are filled with awe and praise. And so, a few weeks ago, in thinking of how I'd prepare for this scripture today, I thought up a list of thank you notes I ought to write, or more accurately, wished I had already written. And I took out a card, and I wrote on it, gratitude, day zero. And I stuck it here in Luke 17, thinking it would serve a visual reminder to log my own gratitudes, and perhaps I'd get to at least day 14 before today. And now is when I must confess to you that the rest of that side of the card is still empty. And on the other side is a different list, a list that says, set up car payment, call for dental records, finish Halloween costumes, make doctor's appointments, so on and so on. And so this week, as I returned to Luke 17 for another examination of the scriptures, I wondered if perhaps there could be something more in this story. And here's what I found. There were 10 lepers that day, and all 10 of them were healed. We sort of forget that part, don't we? We want to assign bad to the 9 and good to the one who saw as we too should see. And we think to ourselves, are we the 9 or are we the 1? Maybe that's where this sermon should end. But for me this morning, I say to you this, no matter where we assign ourselves inside this story, we must not forget that the 9 were also made well. All saw Jesus, all called out to him for mercy, and all did as they were told to do. They went to show themselves to the priests. And as they went, they were made well. They were made clean. Perhaps the other 9 were also grateful. Perhaps they were anxious to get back to the lives awaiting them back in the village, back to an elderly mother or father to care for, back to a family to work and provide for, back to be reunited with their loved ones who'd been missing from their daily lives for who knows how long. Luke doesn't tell us that part. He doesn't tell us anything more about them. And we are the ones who fill in those blanks. Maybe they went back to cross off the things from their lists that surely had gone unfinished in the days since they became outcasts. Maybe they went back to make a casserole for their sick neighbor. We only know this, that on the way, they were healed. And it was so little that they did for it. They called out. They left to show themselves to the priests. And to the one who turned back, loudly praising God, the one who fell at Jesus' feet to say thank you, to him, Jesus simply says this, get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Do you see what he does here? Just as in other healing stories, Jesus assigns this simple ask of asking him for healing as the reason for the healing. For me, this is where the story gets to feeling all a bit much. It blurs out of focus. It defies my own desire to know who's got it all figured out, or especially who doesn't. And it refuses to stay contained within the box I want to draw around this story or the lists I want to make. Like so many of the commentators that I read, it would be so much cleaner. And I wonder if I should split the 10 here. Am I supposed to tell you that those 9 were made clean, but this one who showed his gratitude, he was made spiritually whole? I'm not so sure of that. I think actually this story is uncomfortably close to what Jesus is saying those few verses earlier about how a faith the size of a tiny, unassuming little mustard seed is enough to uproot and plant a mulberry tree into the sea. All 10 were made well. And here is where we remember the verses we've been anchoring to in this study of Luke's gospel. That moment when our Lord unrolls the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, finds the place where it is written, and declares, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." It is good news, indeed, that all 10 were healed. It is good news, for in the scriptures, 10 is a perfect number. It's a number of wholeness, and all of us are inside that number. God's love and mercy is extended to all of us, whether we return to praise him or not. A complete and perfect number to show the complete authority and the unbounded, the limitless gifts of the Father. Like the story of the prodigal father that Jess spoke about earlier in Luke's gospel, it's a love beyond our understanding. 10 lepers, 10 healed, all were made well. And for that, we can only say, thanks be to God.
We are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Oh.
name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto
Now's that time when we get to celebrate together our Lord's Supper. So I'll ask for a couple volunteers to serve and pass. And I'm a little lost because I haven't done this before. So I'll take any help you want to offer.
I'm going to say a blessing over this. Dear Lord, we are your family, gathered around this table. Father, we believe in faith that these symbols have power to keep us on track. Father, that you will feed us spiritually, that as we gather together, that love flows from heart to heart. May we be blessed as we partake of both this bread and this cup this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
We now have an opportunity to give back to God just a portion of what he has given us. We have Glenn and someone else will come and we'll pass the plate around. This is an opportunity to, if you had any of those cards that you filled out at the beginning of the sermon, you can put that in the plate as they come around. Heavenly Father, Lord, everything we have comes from your hand and we are grateful. Except what we are giving back is just a fraction of what you have given us. May it be used for your work in this world. In the name of your Son we pray. Amen. We have our family matters now. We're going to have our trunk or treat here at our building on October 30th. It'll be from 5 to 7 p.m. And I believe we have some sign-up sheets in the lobby. If you're able to come and decorate your trunk and bring candy for the little ones. If you have any questions, you can call King in the church office. Bim has some needs. The pantry, they're short on canned vegetables, mac and cheese, and pasta. You can bring it to the church. Once again, if you have any more information you need, you can look in your bulletin that you have today. We have our Thursday Bible class meeting. It's at 10:30 on Thursday mornings in the conference room over in the office wing. We're meeting both in person and on Zoom. If you'd like to participate by Zoom, just let King know and he'll send you the link. And we have, yes, ma'am? 10:30, yes. And we have several classes available. We'd love to have you stick around and study the Word of God together. Thank you, everyone, for being here this morning.
And finally, a benediction. May our moments together and apart be filled with thankfulness. May our hearts be whole, secure in the knowledge of the goodness of God. And may we see and share the light of Christ with reckless abandon, that we might love and serve our God. Go in peace.